About a year ago, I injured my back trying to lift too much too quickly during circuit training. Quite an innocuous event, so I thought. But skip forward 18 months and it has redefined who I am as a person and made me hold up a mirror to the character that I was. After sinking into a deep, murky, depression-filled sandpit, it became apparent that I needed to communicate and share my feelings in order to combat this darkness that now set upon me. Hiding away in my bedroom, feeling sorry for myself and eating 1 litre tubs of gelato Messina with a trowel wasn't going to do it. With the love and support of those around me and some dogged determination, I've been able to grab onto the last vestiges of light. Campfire was born out of a need to share how I was feeling, to help others express their emotions in a judgment-free environment, and fundamentally normalize courageous conversations. Terrifyingly, on average, about 6 out of 8 suicides every single day in Australia are men. And the number of Australian men who die by suicide every year is almost double that of the national road toll. That's fucked up. So let's do something about it. Each week, we will dive deep into uncharted territory, exploring what it means to be a man and what we can do to be more vulnerable and where to go when the chips are down. Campfire is designed to be an open, honest dialogue consisting of personal journal entries, chats with friends who have also suffered from mental health woes, as well as interviews with high-profile figures, pioneers, and expert in the field of men's mental health awareness. All right, let's stop messing around, shall we? Let's get into it. Hello, my dudes. My name is Bobby O. It brings me enormous joy to welcome you to the maiden campfire voyage. And don't worry, life rafts are plentiful. Without me wanging on too much, I'm pleased to introduce my first guest, Mr. Willie Bishop.
Here are the Willie facts.
Born and raised in a small town in New Zealand, he is the 5th child of 7. Willie showed early on that his aptitude at sport was far greater than that of his peers, excelling at rugby union, rugby league, and touch. Willie was selected for numerous representative teams and quickly became the golden child of his family. Spurred on by his passion and prowess, Willie came to Australia as a professional sportsman in 2002 and was quickly snapped up on a contract by the Sydney Roosters. That's rugby league, just FYI. And after 2 years with the club, Willie moved on to play for the Manly Sea Eagles before switching codes to rugby union, where he was fortunate enough to have been selected for the Australian Sevens side. As you will hear, Willie has been on quite the rollercoaster professionally and personally. Despite having been with his wife for a monumental 17 years, it was the 2 years that they were separated that really helped Willie understand who he was and who he wanted to be. He now splits his time between being a father, a personal trainer, and providing much needed support to men around the world via WhatsApp and social media, something that we'll elaborate on in our chat. During our dialogue, we spoke about the journey he has been on, the importance of vulnerability, and the impact poor mental health and giant egos can have on yourself and those around you. I'll be back at the end for some more banter, but for now, socially distance yourself for the next 40 minutes and enjoy. Recorded on September 9th, 2020 via Zoom chat because, you know, COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Willie Bishop.
Yeah, do that.
Willie!
Hey, Robbie!
Mate, how are you?
Hey, brother, how are you, man?
Mate, look at you, already on brand.
Let's go!
Mate, thank you so much for having this chat with me. I'm literally winging it at the moment, mate. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, given that I have zero gravitas, zero experience. Firstly, how are you?
Man, I am good. Thank you for having us. I'm doing great, brother. I'm doing great. My family as well. Very happy, bro. Very happy. Life is amazing at the moment. So I choose to keep it that way, brother.
Mate, that's so encouraging to hear. I speak to a lot of people and we live in very weird and wonderful times and their energy levels seem to be quite low. What are you doing to stay positive and stay active?
I've just always I just always choose to have that positive mindset, and it's something that I never had in the past. I guess just like creating a new habit, that was something that I had to do. And I wake up every morning with a positive mindset. I can take a positive out of any negative situation. It's just something that I choose to have all the time. And it works for me. It may not work for others, but I just choose to have that mindset. And genuinely, with the hand on the heart, I'm always good, bro. I'm always good.
Mate, that is so, so great to hear. And what was it that prompted this? You said that it wasn't something that you used to do. What was it that changed your application?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the shift happened for me, brother, when my wife and I separated for 2 years. We've been married for 17 years now. And two of those years, just short of two years, me and the wife were separated. So I'd done a lot of growing up within that two-year period.
Mm.
And one thing that I had learned was to have that positive mindset. So it's something that I never had in the past, like I said, but I've been working on it on a daily. Me and the wife have been fortunate enough now to have reconciled our marriage, which sort of brings me to this space. And within that two-year period, there was a lot of tools that I had learned over that time.
Okay.
And a positive mindset was definitely one of them, bro.
Yeah, and in terms of, now listen, Willie, we're friends. I don't want you to, if you feel like I'm going over the line with any of my questions, I just want you to shout out, you let me know. But in terms of, what was the catalyst for that separation? And what was it that you learned about yourself during that time that allowed you to reconcile?
Yeah, sure. So I was a very selfish, very stubborn, very proud, egotistic person before the penny dropped for me, I guess. I was always about myself. I was sports driven, so I guess a little bit of the ego come from there. But I couldn't see the person that I had turned out to be in those moments. And then it took for me to separate with the wife due to me being unfaithful. I had an affair with the wife, which led to our separation. And within that 2 year period, like I was saying, the penny had dropped for me, and I had to learn a lot about myself and the person I had turned into, to make a change in my life, to be better. So, as funny as this may sound, I'm not proud of my actions in the past and the reason, that me and the wife separated. But in saying that, I'm actually grateful for the journey that I have taken, because I probably wouldn't be the person I am today, and I probably wouldn't be here having this conversation in such an open space like I am today. So I'm very grateful for my journey. If I could change a few things that I had done in the past, 100% I would have. I don't think I was aware enough back then, but I am grateful for how things have panned out. Now me and my wife are reconciled. It's been 3 years now. We have a little daughter after our connection. So very grateful.
That's amazing. Listen, in terms of, I can completely empathize. Firstly, thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate that. And it's almost reassuring to know that there is someone else out there that has gone through this turbulent period of time and come out better for it the other side. I can relate to that in a sense of, I didn't want to have to go through everything I've gone through over the past 18 months, but in actual fact, I had to go through it in order to get to where I'm at now. Just in terms of this journey, we talk about the journey that you've been on. I want to get an understanding of what those little destinations were on your journey. So what was it? Was there practical stuff that you did? Was there physical stuff that you did? Did you change your diet? Give me an idea of what you, in terms of that journey, what did that look like for you over the 2 years?
Sure. So that's very simple for me. Me and my wife left New Zealand in 2002. I come over here chasing a professional footy career in the NRL. So I was very fortunate to be a part of that professional lifestyle for a long time. When we had separated, I was still playing a lot of professional footy at an international level, touch football. Mm. And I had this connection with this particular person, and I give him credit for the person I am today because he changed my life around. Within that dark moment that I had in my life, I had connected with this person, and I guess I would he's my mentor. I'll call him my mentor, and he just guided me through my journey. I chose to keep things to myself. I never opened up about how I was feeling. I was carrying a lot to myself, and I was too proud, and I guess too ashamed to tell people how I was feeling when I was down and out. But for some reason, and I can't explain it, I just felt this comfortable connection with this one particular person, and he was the one that I was able to open up and just put everything out on the table, and we connected, and he sort of guided me through my journey. He taught me about self-awareness. He taught me about a positive mindset. He taught me about a growth mindset. He taught me all these different life tools that I never knew, and he just slowly guided me through my journey, and it got to a point where I no longer needed him anymore because he had educated me so much. I was confident to go and live life by myself now. But before that point, I felt I was scared. I was afraid. I was alone because I had no one. I chose not to turn to anyone. I chose to keep to myself. But this one particular person, I just felt so comfortable with him that he educated me so much that now, if I'm a little bit unaware of a certain situation, I'll reach out to him and ask him for a little bit of guidance. But because he's educated me so much, my life is good, bro. My life is good because of what he has taught me along my journey.
It's incredible. It's incredible to hear. And I would say that's the perfect segue. There is a couple of things I want to talk to you about off the back of that, but it's the perfect segue to sort of address the reason why you were sort of brought to my attention initially. Now, obviously, we want to talk around men's mental health and amongst other things, but the reason that you were put on my radar initially was that you are the conductor of a very unique resource, should we say, a WhatsApp group called Brothers for Brothers. And I see you're representing today with your hoodie and hat. Very nice, very nice. We are way off merchandise on Campfire Conversations, but we'll get there. We'll get there. I want to understand a little bit about why the group got started, and if you can tell me a little bit more about how often you talk and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. So Brothers for Brothers started with me and a really good friend of mine. He had been on a similar journey to me. Where it all come from is that this particular person that I had connected with, we just used to get together in the mornings and just go for our early morning walks. And that's where it was just me and him one-on-one time. And he taught me about life and how I can fix my mistakes and how I can change habits. So the idea of Brothers for Brothers actually come from what I had done with this particular person. We'd get up early in the morning, we'd just go for our walks, and we'll just talk. So it was just like a walk and talk connection. And a really good friend of mine that helped me put our group together, he was going through a tough patch as well. And if you ever get to meet him, I'm sure that he wouldn't mind me saying this, but he also went through a divorce as well. So our journey was very similar. We were big in the church. Our faith is very important to us. Mm. And it was just a conversation that we had. Said, look, we both know that there's other men out there that have experienced something very similar to us. Why don't we just start like a little group, just a walk and talk group, reach out to some friends if they want to come and hang out once a week, and we'll just talk about things men's mental health based. We spoke on things like vulnerability, accountability, all these things that men choose not to talk about. And then it started with 3-4 of us, and then just over time it just grew. And COVID has been a blessing in disguise because it's given us the opportunity to turn to Zoom. And now we're able to connect with guys in South Africa. We've got brothers in South Africa that log in, in Dubai, back in New Zealand, my home country, interstate, Canberra, Queensland, Brisbane. So it's been a blessing in disguise. But that's all it started from, was just me and another really good friend sharing our stories, sort of brainstorming how we can create a safe and comfortable space for other men that are going through something similar. And we just go. I said to him, as long as our intention is coming from a good place, it's going to work, man. It's going to work. And so we've just been getting better and better as we go. By no means, brother, am I a professional at what I do. I just choose to share my story. And if my story can help someone, then I'm serving my purpose here, bro. So that's where it all started, man.
Mate, it's absolutely incredible. And your energy is infectious and it's really quite endearing. I would say that you strike me as a man's man, whereas I am not a man's man. Now, in terms of you hit on something really pertinent there, which was the idea of vulnerability. Now, sure. I don't find it now too difficult to be vulnerable, but for guys that aren't necessarily, you know, like a stoically masculine.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, what's been your experience? Why do you think it's so difficult for the traditional man to be vulnerable? And have you seen cases, much like yourself, where you've gone, oh, you know, can you see the value in opening up and being honest and talking about how you're feeling?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Vulnerability is massive. It's something that I never knew. Being a very strong Polynesian male, it was instilled into my culture, you know, to never show weakness, to never cry, never share your emotions, because that's you showing a sign of weakness, if you know what I mean.
Of course,
so
yeah.
I thought that was only cultural, but now I understand that it's...
Willie, I'm British, so we have a saying, which is the stiff upper lip, you know, like everything, you need to be bulletproof at all times, sure. No matter what you're doing. So I completely empathize with that.
Yeah, 100%. And like that was instilled into me to not show how I was feeling, not to cry, all those things, you know, be tough, be staunch, be strong. And that was just my upbringing. But then when I understood what vulnerability was and how it worked, when I was able to have the courage to open up and share my feelings with tears, which was something that I never did, the feeling of a weight shifting from my heart to now being released out into the open was a massive feeling of relief for me. And even though it brought tears, it also brought me happiness as well. So now I understand what vulnerability is. At the start of our men's group, the boys were very good at putting on a mask, as you know.
Of course, masculinity, of course. Is massive.
And every face has a story, as we all know. But over time, I've seen the boys starting to open up a lot more now, which is what we wanted to create. We wanted to create that space where boys felt comfortable to come and hang out and share what they were going through, you know, because life isn't perfect. We all have our trials and tribulations. And now I've seen the growth in our boys where we talk about everything now, you know, we're talking about vulnerability. We're putting our hand up and we're speaking about accountability also. So to see the growth from our men from where we started till now has been amazing, bro. It's actually overwhelming.
Yeah, it sounds overwhelming. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. In terms of, is there anything practical in terms of, for somebody that doesn't necessarily have that, you mentioned, you know, that your mentor that doesn't feel like they've got that one person that they just have that rapport with and they have that comfort level with in order to reveal how they're feeling. What would be your advice to someone looking to perhaps start sharing, but there's that inherent social stigma around sharing? Like, do you have any practical tips or advice around that?
Yeah, again, brother, I'll only ever speak from my experience. For me, I guess I was fortunate to be able to connect with this one particular person. So I'm grateful that I had that connection, because that was my way of opening up to someone and letting go of what I was holding on to. For someone that doesn't have that connection, I encourage them to come to somewhere like our Brothers for Brothers group, or I'll encourage you to go and reach out and look for help somewhere else, because I feel in terms of anxiety, in terms of depression, in terms of suicidal thoughts, that all happens when you choose to keep things to yourself. And I could be wrong, bro. I could be wrong. That's just me, again, speaking from my experience. But once I was able to find that group or that connect group or that one particular person, like I was saying, I was able to get stuff off my chest. And I felt like for me, that was the first step in the right direction. So if you don't open up and start talking to someone, what happens to everything that you're holding on to inside? So I encourage men that are going through that stuff there to start talking, to start speaking, to start breaking that stigma of masculinity. I never knew what it was, and I was a very staunch, proud man. But now I understand it. I encourage other men to start opening up and find that someone or find that group that you feel comfortable with to start talking, brother.
Was there ever a sense in terms of, you know, you, as I say, you strike me as a I don't want to use this term. I don't, you don't think I'm being flippant or facetious, but I think of you as, you know, you're a man. You're a proper man. I look at you, Willie, and I go, you're a dude, right? Whereas I look at myself in the mirror and I go, God, you're pathetic sometimes. Now, was there ever a sense of, like, for me, it was always a case of, as a man, you're still, there's this sense of, I've got it, you've got it. And it all being absolutely fine, calm on the surface and paddling like crazy underneath. Have you seen people that are like that completely change their attitude in the way that they've interacted with the group?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I have. We've been together now for, we're early in our journey. I guess it's been a year and a bit, maybe just short of 2 years. So we're still very early in our journey. And from the boys that, like I was saying before, from the boys that we've had from the start, to see their growth to where they are now, the way that they speak, their behavior patterns have changed, their mannerisms, their outlook on life. Like, I see all those small changes, and it's so encouraging to see the shift from the person they used to be to the small changes that they're making now to the men they are now. And it's a journey. It's a journey. The change isn't going to happen straight away. But I feel the more that you circle yourself around positive people and people that are going to influence you to do better, then your change is going to happen faster. I feel if you're aware of the circle that you hang around, it may be negative environment or bad things happen in that environment, maybe you need to pull yourself away from that circle and then place yourself in a comfortable environment where people are going to help you grow. People are going to help you be better. And that's all I've done. And again, I'll only ever speak from my experience. That worked for me. I'm not saying that it'll work for other men, but I've seen the changes in our boys from when we first started till now. So
I encourage you. It's such a simple solution, isn't it? I think. Though we can only describe how our experience has been and the things that we've been through, I don't want to say solution, but the remedy to all of this is so simple, and it's talking and it's having conversations like this where, you know, I've been completely blown away by your openness and honesty and your, you know, having a very candid conversation with a relative stranger. But it's that kind of interaction that sets you up for, you know, breaking down these kind of social norms and actually expressing how you're feeling. And ultimately, you touched on it a little bit, it's this idea of growth. Like, we should be looking to continually grow and evolve ourselves, but we can't, like, sort of society and masculinity sort of holds us in place in a way. Now, you mentioned, you know, that religion's a big part of you. Why do you think that this particular group has facilitated a better form of conversation, than perhaps like leaning into perhaps your religion or, you know, reaching out to your religious group? Do you think that people just, is it about the relaxed environment? What is it about the group that people find so easy to enjoy?
Yeah. So I'm very conscious of keeping that separate, keeping my men's group separate to my faith. I turned to the church when I was going through my dark period. I needed something good in my life. And I was always curious. I was never brought up in the church. Me and my wife were never brought up in the church, always curious. So when I did hit rock bottom, I felt like I needed something positive in my life. And I connected with friends through church, and I sort of went along and hung out, and I really started to notice a change within myself. Mm. The change was happening inside out.
And what faith are you, Willie? Sorry.
So me and my family are Christians. So we attend the Hillsong Church. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Big part of our life now. But in terms of our men's group, I never push my faith into the group because I understand that it's different. My faith is for me. If people see that my faith and my journey through my church is helping me become better, and if they start asking questions, then I would speak about it. But I never push my faith. I never push my faith on the boys. But in terms of the boys in our men's group having the courage to be able to speak, I feel it's the environment, the cultural environment that we created in that space.
Mm.
We make sure that it's a safe and comfortable, confidential environment where our boys can come and share. There's no judgment involved. So I think it's just that environment that we created that has made the boys feel comfortable now to open up and speak about anything, which is beautiful to see. And even now we had boys opening up about things that they've been holding on to for 8 or 9 years.
Mm.
Seeing strong men, tattoos, big chest muscles, and tears, brother, is overwhelming. And it just shows the growth in them to be able to step out of their comfort zone and just go there. So I think us creating that safe and comfortable environment where they know they can open up and talk about whatever has been a game changer for us.
Absolutely. One of the things that obviously the COVID pandemic, you might have heard something about it, has sort of restricted was the meetups in person. Do you find that the dynamic has changed, improved, worsened since you went completely online?
Yeah, so like I was saying earlier, man, it's been a blessing in disguise, to be honest. We were walking every Wednesday afternoon just in our local area. We're over here in the Northern Beaches. So our boys will get together on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll just go for an hour walk, hour and a half. And if there's something that someone wanted to share, then we'll have like a serious conversation. Mm. And then we'll just go open floor, and I make sure that everyone gets to share their opinion on what I may want to talk about. And that was it. Nothing formal, just walk, just cruise, just take our friendship to another level. And that's all it was. And then when COVID kicked in, obviously no face-to-face interaction. We jumped onto Zoom. So the whole technology thing was new to me. I was trying to work it, understand it. Now I got it. And now, like I was saying, Zoom has been a blessing, brother. It's been a blessing because friends that I used to go to school with that had seen stuff on our socials that what we're doing were very interested. And like I was saying, we've got a guy over in Johannesburg that loves what we're all about. So he checks in every Wednesday now. We've got a guy in Bahrain that I used to play footy with that we had lost connection with 20 years. And now we've reconnected through Zoom. My older brother and my family back in New Zealand are now able to jump on and be a part of this. So
that's amazing.
So when we changed to Zoom, we kept up our weekly meetings, which we have tonight. So every Wednesday we have our weekly chats, and we're getting like 10s, 11s, 12s on there, which is amazing. And then every second Sunday we're back to our morning walks. So we have a combination of both now.
So good, mate. So amazing. I'm actually blown away by how comfortable you are talking about this, but also that you've had such amazing success with the boys that are joining. The one thing that I always come back to is this sense of when people ask you directly, you know, like, how are you? There's that almost twitch response of, I'm fine. Why do you think that we do that rather than having these structured, well, not structured, but having these more open, honest conversations? What do you think it is that prevents us from saying, hey, do you know what? I'm not actually that great.
I think a little bit could be pride still. I know with our men, I was a very proud person when someone would ask me, am I okay? I'm good, bro. I'm sweet. That sort of attitude where really I was sort of broken inside, but I was too proud to let everyone know how I was dealing with the issues that I was going through. I didn't want anyone to know because I was embarrassed also. So I think a little bit of that plays a part. I also feel not knowing how to have those deep conversations could also can play a part in that as well. That's a tough one, bro.
I think a lot of it stems from our unfortunate giant egos that we have as men. Would you agree?
Brother, if you were to talk about ego, I was the biggest egotistic person that you know. But I never knew. Always being so sports driven, like you obviously need a little bit of ego in that area. But I never had clarity of the kind of person that I had turned into. And now I can honestly look back and reflect on the person that I used to be to the person that I am now. Very, very, very ashamed of the person that I had turned into, but at the same time, very grateful for that person because I wouldn't be here now if I wasn't that person back then. But ego is poison, brother, and that's something that I've learned over time.
What do you do in terms of managing that? I know that for myself, a very ego-driven young man, I say young, meditation has been such an amazing outlet for me. Are there any things that you've done during this period of growth and change that you've done that really stand out as that keeps the ego in check?
Absolutely, bro. That is so easy to answer for me. I'm aware of ego now. I used to be conscious about it all the time, like through my actions. Where is this coming from? Is it coming from a place of ego? Where is it coming from? But now subconsciously, I know exactly where my actions come from. And I choose to do everything through here. I choose to do everything through love. And I know if I do that, I will never fail, bro. I will never fail. I choose to live life through my heart. My intention always comes from here. That way ego never kicks in. And I'm very conscious of it. If I was to share some content on a social, where is that coming from? Am I feeding my own ego, or is what I'm posting helping someone else? Am I influencing someone else to be better? So I just choose to do everything through love, bro. And I never go wrong because I know love never fails, man.
Do you, your little one, is that a boy or a girl?
So, bro, we've got two boys. So during the separation time, I had left my wife and my two boys. So the boys are 9 and 10 now. We had them very close. And then my daughter's only 17 months. So me and
Oh, right. Okay. So super young.
Yeah. So she's the blessing of the work that me and my wife had put into fixing our marriage, bro.
Of course. I'm interested to know how you're raising your boys to be. Would you say that those lessons and the way that you express your vulnerability is something that you are encouraging them to do as young men?
That I choose to educate them at a young age through the experiences that I've gone through. But for me and my family, we also have a cultural challenge as well. I was brought up very rough. Drugs, alcohol, physical abuse, emotional abuse, all of that was normal to me. So seeing dad use his fists all the time to mum, to us kids.
That's terrible. That
to us was just normal. You know what I mean? That was us normal. And I remember saying to myself when I was younger, I'm never going to turn out to be like my father. Brother, I turned out to be exactly like him. I was very free with my hands, with my wife. I was very, what's the word? The way that I used to discipline my kids wasn't the nicest. Once I realized that I'm continuing the cycle of how I was brought up, I then realized that my dad only taught me what he knew.
Of course. So,
you know, I don't blame my dad now for the way that I turned out, because he was only doing his best and he was only doing raising me the way that he was raised. So to me, that's generational. That's cultural as well.
Mm.
Because a lot of the time I used to blame my father for a lot of my mistakes. You're the reason why I've done this. You're the reason why I've done that, because I seen you do it. So I thought it was okay. Mm. But once I had realized that he was only doing the best that he could, and that what he was taught, I'm able now, and I take it upon myself to be that person in my generation to break that cycle. Now I choose to discipline with my mouth instead of this. I speak to my wife a lot better. I speak to my kids a lot better, not so angry and not so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So subconsciously, that's in my head all the time. I need to watch how I speak. I need to watch how I act. I need to change all these cultural things that were instilled into me. I need to flip them and educate my kids better. And I feel with what I know, if I can tap into them early at a younger age, they're going to be more equipped throughout their life.
Yeah.
That's the challenge that I have now. I want to be that person in my generation to break that cycle.
Mate, it's amazing. It's so encouraging and so, you know, fills me full of life to know that that's happening. Are there ever periods where you feel like you're slipping back to those old habits?
Oh, brother, man. Don't poke the bear, boys. Don't poke the bear. Yeah, Rob, that's something that me and the wife are still challenged with every day. In terms of me and my wife's communication, man, I can honestly say we don't argue, bro. We don't argue where before we used to be at each other, man, at each other. And that's credit to her and her growth. And to me also, and the things that I have changed. So our communication has gone to another level. Our love and respect has gone to another level. The way that we discipline our kids has changed from the way that I used to be. But that's still very challenging for me. That's one thing that I'm still finding challenging, because the boys, I feel like the boys push the buttons a lot. They push my boundaries. And I'm aware of it though. I'm aware of it, and I've said things to the boys. I said, do you like it when dad gets angry at you? No, I don't like it. So what makes me get angry at you then? Our behavior. So for me to change the way that I discipline you, you need to change your behavior towards me and mum also. So if I get angry, it's only because you've upset me. So I'm keeping them accountable for their actions also. Mm. But
I think that seeing you articulate yourself in such a way and being so vulnerable to them is only going to pay dividends down the road when they're having similar conversations with their children. It's so amazing, mate. I'm really absolutely blown away by this. If men ideally are listening to this and are looking for an outlet, or they're looking to get involved with Brothers for Brothers, what would you say to them? What would be their first port of call?
We have an Instagram page. And that's Brothers, BRO.THERS for Brothers. All of our information's about our Zoom chats, our fortnightly catch-ups are on our Instagram page. So I try my hardest to try and push that. And we're also on Facebook now. We felt like that because our group has been grown so much, I wanted to take us to another level, to another platform, because I want to be able to reach out to more people.
Yeah.
So we're on Facebook now, under Brothers for Brothers. And that's all really, bro. I don't push it too much. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, word of mouth. I get messages every now and then, just curious about what we do. But we, for all the men out there, if you are looking for a safe and comfortable environment to come and connect with other boys, we have our Zoom chats on a Wednesday afternoon. So that's 5 p.m. Aussie time here. And then every second Sunday, we have our sit-down brekkie chat catch-up just here on the northern beaches. So we welcome any other men out there that are looking for, you know, that are looking for connection with Love and Open Arms. Always look forward to meeting new people and just sharing this whole journey together.
Well, it's honestly incredible, Willie. Genuinely, I've been blown away by how honest and candid you are. It's really fantastic to think that there are people out there that are just doing this off their own back, because I know that from my point of view, had I been aware of a resource like this last year, it would have gone a long way in terms of helping me articulate how I was feeling, and probably wouldn't have dug myself in so deeply to the hole that I found myself in last year. Listen, if there's ever a chance that I escape the Bondi bubble, I'll be along to one of your walks, but I'll be certainly tuning in the next Zoom chat. But thank you ever so much for your time. I cannot thank you enough. First one out the gate. Let's hope that somebody has taken away a little nugget from this that they've, you know, maybe struggled with before, and can probably harness some of that vulnerability and have a conversation.
Yeah, no, thank you for the opportunity to jump on and share. It's my purpose, I know now, to share my story. I love what I do. I love this space. And if my story can help just one person, then that's amazing. I may not be able to change the world, and this is something that I push to our men all the time. Mm-hmm. If we're going to take away a nugget from our chat, we know that the world is full of negativity at the moment. We may not be able to change the world, but what you can be is that positive influence to people in your little circle. You be positive, you be good, and then you just watch the snowball effect. You watch a snowball effect. So if you can walk away with anything from the chat, brothers, be positive, be that person that people will turn to in dark moments, and just keep spreading the love, man. Happy days.
Love it, Willie. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, legend. Thank you for having us.
And so there it is. First one out the gate. Done. My thanks again to Willie for his time, energy, and honesty. It's hard enough talking about your feelings, let alone doing it with some random brown boy on the other end of a Zoom chat. And for anyone interested in getting involved with Brothers for Brothers, there's cheeky links in the description. I know this may be peculiar territory for some of the guys listening, but with any luck, this content will be the catalyst for you to speak up and access some of those more difficult emotions, because in the long run, it will only benefit you. If you or a loved one is struggling with their mental health, there's some superb resources available. Mensline.org.au and Beyond Blue both provide information and support to help everyone in Australia achieve the best possible mental health. If you'd like to connect with them, myself, or Campfire, links will be in the description. But for now, I must bid you a fond Auf Wiedersehen. And until next time, stay happy and healthy, my dudes.